Psalm 91 tonight. Let's read this psalm in its entirety. I trust that you'll let God speak to your heart with it. And while we're reading this, if you were here last week, I hope you could remember a little lady who was way up in age, laying in a bed, can't say a thing, never seen a thing in her life, and asked if this would be read. And while we're reading it, she's quoting it because it's meant so much to her through her life. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust. Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation, there shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For He shall give His angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion, the adder, the young lion, the dragon, shalt thou trample under feet. Because He hath set His love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high, because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you so much for these tremendous words. Words that are full of meaning and truth. Words that bring comfort and courage. Words that exclaim your tremendous greatness, your goodness to us. I ask, O God, tonight you will bless that we might see truly how great you really are. May we, as we walk from here tonight, not only having heard that song, but it might be that which is the very essence of our being towards you. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. A few years back, there was a fellow by the name of Eon Paisley. He was a Protestant. He was very much involved with the Catholic versus the Protestants in Ireland. There was a lot of bombings and there was a lot of bloodshed between the two factions. He was really one who was sought after, threatened with death on many occasions. He was a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. He was a preacher. And he said this. He said, as long as God wants me here on earth, nothing can touch me. But as soon as He is through with me, an assassin's bullet will probably find my forehead. And he was exclaiming in those few moments that he had a God who took care of him. There comes a day when we sometimes will say, well, God didn't take care of us. There comes that time when we pass from here to there. But can I remind you that when you're sick, the greatest healing you can have is to be taken into the presence of Jesus? Can I remind you that no matter how tough the situation might be and how embattled you might be, but the greatest victory is to be able to stand in His presence and hear Him say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. We have a God that's going to take us all the way through. Here's a psalm that I believe expresses that over and over. I'm not going to go back and take a great deal of time and repeating what we looked at last week, but he that dwelleth, in verse 1, in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I believe that is the key verse to the entire book, or the entire chapter, excuse me. And it's talking about the fact that when you and I are walking close with God, when we are having that fellowship with Him, when we are seeing Him as our Heavenly Father, not as a God who's off in the distance, but one who is accessible, one whom we can have special relationship with Him, we find that there is a place of great, wondrous fellowship with our God. We go to verse number 2, excuse me. He says, I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I will trust. Just to point out to you once again, I love the fact that there's two pronouns here. Actually, three times it's used, but my refuge, my fortress. Very, very personal to Him. One who is taking care of Him. Verse 3 says, surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He is saying, hey, He will protect me against all the subtleties of Satan. Do you realize tonight that Satan seeks to trap each and every one of us, and the only weapon he has is the lie? That's all he has. And when we're willing to believe the lie rather than truth, we are bound up. Jesus said, ye shall know the truth, and the truth will do what? Set you free. Verse number 4 says, He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. As a little farm boy, I can still see those little chicks as they would run to their mamas and get underneath those wings if there was some problem coming around. The old cat would be on the prowl, and mother hen would be in a mode of protection. Verse number 5 says, Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day. I'm reminded so often as a boy, as I faced that nighttime and the fear that came into my heart as I was in that room all by myself. Oh, that I might have known the almighty protection of God and not had that fear. And thank God that is something that's far gone. He said in verse 6, Not for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. And though all the diseases and all the problems of this world might be out there seeking to destroy, we can understand that we're walking with God. Nothing's going to get us that He doesn't allow. Going to verse 7. He says, 1,000 shall fall at thy side, 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. No matter what's going on around us, no matter what there is that is out there, God is protecting His own. I think about the Lord Jesus Christ as they're crossing the sea and the storm has come up and it's raging. And no doubt the water is slopping into the boat and Jesus is in the back sleeping, head on a pillow. And disciples come to Him in panic. But it's that same Jesus who slept on the pillow who stood and said to the storm, Peace, be still. He is He that you and I have at our side to do what needs to be done in our lives. Even though the Father forsook the Lord Jesus Christ in the darkest hour on the cross of Calvary, can we understand it was but preparation for the greatest of all miracles as He came up out of the grave? You see, you can't have resurrection until you have death. And God took Him through all of that into victory. And though we find that there is all this problem, 1,000 on this side and 10,000 on the other, we can walk right on down through the path, God taking care of us. Verse 8 says, Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. The just reward that comes upon those who will not trust in God, it will never be felt by those redeemed from judgment by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. We most likely will observe that judgment as we look in the book of Revelation. And most likely we will see the damned forever cast into the lake of fire, but we'll never experience it. Only with our eyes will we see that. Verse 9 says, "Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation," the place where we live at. It's almost like a second stanza begins here. "And reminded of whom the Lord affords his promised protection." This isn't referencing just our salvation, but our very intimate walk with the Lord and our day-to-day devotion with him. "Because we've made him, which is my refuge," he said, "even the Most High, thy habitation. Though we may dwell in a tent, though we might live in a palace, it does not have any bearing upon the fact that our hearts can seek to occupy in the very place and abode of God till he comes. To be in that secret place, to be in that place of habitation, to be able to come to the Word of God and read its pages and feel its grip, and to sense the fact that I can call upon God, and to know that as I walk through life and all the problems that present themselves, my God is there taking care all the way. Marvelous it is. Verse number 10, "There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling." Being in the place of refuge during a storm is a tremendous security. I've told this story many times, but I remember my mom and dad farmed. It was on a farm down by Mineola, Iowa. The house we lived in was a big two-story house. Upstairs was, I think, three bedrooms and probably a fourth one. It could have been a big old square house. What I remember most about that house is that we forgot to put heat up there in the wintertime. And we go up, and I'll tell you what, you didn't have to prompt us to get into bed in the wintertime. When you started up the steps, you went up quickly, you found the bed as fast as you could, you covered up with about three quilts as fast as you could pull them up over the top of you. And in my case, before my little dog died, he'd crawl underneath and keep my feet warm. But I remember one day during the springtime, I don't know how my mom and dad knew it, but a storm came up. The wind was blowing torrentiously, and Dad said, "We know you're the cellar." I'd been down there a couple of times, but you go down the steps in our house, and you would be in the basement, and down in the basement, of course, there was a big old furnace down there. And the thing I remember most down in that basement was an old cream separator. Dad would milk the cows, bring it in there, and put it in the separator. And I never had milk on cereal until I was about 10 or 11 years of age. Cream. Amen? By the way, you take that same stuff, put it we had a churner, you'd crank on that thing, and you'd make homemade butter. We never bought butter at the store. And from that place on, just a little ways to the right, there was another set of steps. They went down about maybe four, maybe five steps. And there was a big old door on that. And you walk into that room. It was not a large room. It was probably about 8 by 8. And there'd be about a 3-foot section down the middle, and then on both sides was about a 2-foot section. And really it was a place where my mother would put all of her canned goods. And they would store there, because where they sat at, that room would maintain a temperature winter or summer of about 55 degrees. And we went into that room because there was a storm coming. I remember Dad had grabbed a lantern and an old oil lamp, and they turned that on down there in that basement. We could hear the winds howling. I was frightened, but my mother pulled me up close. My sister sat on the other side, and the fear seemed to go away. Pretty soon we heard a big loud boom. I'll never forget this. My dad said, "There went the house." He honestly thought that the tornado had hit the house and taken it all away. But we were safe down in this cellar. It was cement on all four sides. Matter of fact, if you would go upstairs and go out in the yard, you could see the top of that cellar. And it was just a cement slab, it looked like, on the top. And there we were, entombed within that thing, in a place of security and safety. I think about that when I come to verses like this. As God says that He is going to take care of us and keep us and bless us. He's my refuge. He's the one that takes care of me. No evil shall befall me, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. Verse 11 says, "For He shall give His angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways." It's interesting, but verse 11 and 12 is quoted by Satan to the Lord Jesus Christ. How like him to take a verse out of context, basically, in the middle of a chapter describing his defeat to tempt our Lord, to try to make him demonstrate his power in not the way God should do it. By the way, always remember something, the pride ruins men. And when others expect you to prove God, which the devil was trying to do there by some spectacular mean, it's because they think they're wiser than the Lord God. And that was the devil at that occasion. The Lord dealt with his attempt, by the way, by just quoting Scripture from another place. He says, "Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God." It's interesting. He says, "He shall give His angels charge over thee." Angels have an important charge given to them by God of protecting God's people. In the New Testament, in verse 14 of chapter 1 of Hebrews, it says, "Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation?" We go back to the Old Testament, we see on one occasion one angel slew 186,000 men that had been gathered against Israel. On another occasion, we find that the armies of the Syrians had come just to get one man by the name of Elisha. And Elisha's servant said, "They're going to kill us." And Elisha said, "There's more that's with us than there is with him." And he asked God to open the eyes of his servant, and he saw the armies round about. What he saw was the host of angels. God has charged them to take care. But by the way, may I stop there for a moment? Before you get all enamored with angels, remember, it is God that made them. Amen? It is He that gave them the power that they might have, the abilities that are there. It is He that commanded them to keep their charge. I find some Christians are more excited about angels than they are about God who made them. Don't get in that spot. It is He who charged. He says, "They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone." How marvelous a God who does the keeping and holds on to us. If you get on a jet plane with me right now and head to Seattle, we'd probably first go to Minneapolis, lay over a couple of hours, catch a plane, go out to SeaTac Airport. We could rent a car, and from there it would take me about 30 to 45 minutes, depending on the freeway traffic. I could take you up to a little suburb of Seattle on the north side called Linwood. I lived in a suburb right next to it called Mount Lake Terrace. The church, Open Door Baptist Church, that we helped to start out there many, many years ago, is in Linwood. You get off the freeway at 44th Avenue exit off the Interstate 5, and you would turn north and go about 3/4 mile, you'll come to an intersection. The street that crosses right there is 196th Street Southwest. 196th Street is a four-lane street. 44th Avenue is a four-lane street. You have 2 four-lane streets that intersect. That intersection is so busy that you never have a green light for both directions at once. It is so busy with people going and turning that you do one at a time, and so you have to wait through this side and then the other side across from you and then this side, and then it will come to you. If you were to go to that intersection with a child, especially a small child, let's say 4 or 5 years of age, a good parent will never say, "Take my hand, son. Take my hand, daughter. We're going to cross this busy intersection." A good parent is going to reach down and grab the arm. Matter of fact, they might not only grab the arm, they might grab the whole body and pick them up. That they might have them secure to take them across that street. I would never dream when my kids were little of going to that intersection and saying, "Hey, grab my finger with your little dinky hands and grab a hold of my finger and start across," expecting them to hold on. Nor does God expect us to hold on. God's doing the holding. I don't know about you, but that means an awful lot to me. God is the one who is protecting. He shall bear thee up. Verse number 13 says, "Thou shalt tread upon the lion and the adder, the young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet." He names the lion and then the young lion, but he also mentions the adder and the dragon. The fierceness of the animals we find in really all of these, and cunning foes they are. But God says, for the child of God, they just provide a surface for walking, because He is the one who's taken us through. This is not an accidental stepping on one, as you might step on a snake as you're going across a path. But it's an intentional blow to the enemy. We have a God who can take us through no matter what it is. And though the lion might be there, though the snake might be there, and though even the dragon, God will take us through. His truth will set you free of any grip that they might seek to have on you. Do you realize tonight that you have the power to overcome Satan? You have that available to you. Verse 14 says, "Because he has set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high because he hath known my name." Here the voice seems to change from the third person to the first as the Lord speaks. "Because he has set his love upon me." Dwelling in his shadows, he speaks of in verse number 1, will create something in your life and my life that is absolutely splendid, and that is a love for God. And that love, as we find in this verse, brings forth the blessed hand of his deliverance to pull us up and away from whatever problem there might be. "Because he has set his love upon me, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him on high." Not just pull him out, but set him up. Why? "Because he hath known my name." I don't know about you, but these verses, they're thrilling. No wonder that little lady who had never seen anything in her entire life, as I read these things, or as the other fellow read these, and I heard him read and could see out of the corner of my eye her face and hear her words just slightly in the background, and realize from the tremble of her voice and also the little tear that had formed in her eyes, these were blessed verses. Who had known the hand of God through all of those years, though she could never see a thing, though she had to depend on so many people for so many things, though she lay in a bed at this moment, not able to get out on her own, she knew God was still there, caring for her. Verse 15, "He shall call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him." Promises of answered cries, how marvelous it is. Fear, the Bible says, hath torment. But we can live above that when we have that intimacy with God. When we're in fellowship with him. It's amazing to be able to walk with him and to be fearless. I'm not talking about inside bravery. I'm talking about because we know that he who walks with us can take us through anything that comes our direction. See a great God? Can we sing "How Great Thou Art" with greater fervor as we think of these things? With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. The length that he gives us of life is eternal. The salvation he brings to us gives us the presence of God, not only now but throughout all of eternity. Now it's by faith, but one day by sight. When Jesus said he gives us life and more abundantly, I wonder, was this psalm upon his mind? As we consider how marvelous our God is. Let's read it again and we'll close. "He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him will I trust. Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation, there shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and adder, the young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet. Because he has set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high, because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation.